Welcome to the Resonant Life Podcast. I'm Dr. Layla Doolittle, and I am so glad you're here. This podcast is a journey into the heart of functional health, where we will explore how to create a life filled with optimal wellness, vitality, and resonance. Each episode, we'll dive into a variety of topics designed to inspire and empower you, from practical health strategies to insightful conversations with experts. Our goal is to provide you with the tools and knowledge you need to live a life unburdened by health limitations. Together, we'll uncover ways to align with your true self, embrace your passions, and create a life that fills and reflects your deepest values. So whether you're seeking to optimize your health or simply looking for inspiration, you are in the right place. Let's embark on this journey of resonance and transformation together. Welcome to this very exciting episode where I am going to introduce you to Dr. Toni Ingram. She is a biological dentistry, integrative health coach, and owner of Flourish Dental Boutique in Richardson, Texas. After her own personal health struggles with an autoimmune disease, Dr. Ingram shifted her practice philosophy to focus on whole body health and the prevention and safer treatment of oral disease. She has degrees from Texas Christian University and Baylor College of Dentistry. Dr. Ingram is a member of the International Academy of Oral Medicine and Toxicology and the International Academy for Biological Dentistry and Medicine. She is SMART certified in Safe Amalgam Removal Technique, accredited through IAOMT, and is a TBI ambassador through the Breathe Institute. She also has a certified integrative health coach certification through the Institute of Integrative Nutrition, and I am thrilled to have this conversation with her. She has been my biological dentist for years, and I love all the work she's doing. She also sees nearly all of my patients, so I'm honored and thrilled to carry on this conversation with her and bring her expertise to the table. Dr. Toni, thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Doolittle. I'm so glad to be here, and I'm excited we get to chat today.
Yes. Oh, share with us a little bit about this world of biological dentistry for anyone new to this, what this terminology means, and just the philosophy behind it.
So the philosophy, if we want to go way back, for one, a lot of people use terms interchangeably. Mm-hmm. So holistic dentistry, biological dentistry, they're essentially saying the same thing for the most mm-hmm. part. If you want to get into kind of the nitty gritty of the term itself, it goes back to the concept of biological medicine, which is taking into account the whole terrain of the human body. Uh-huh. So how are we addressing the human terrain? Are we supporting it? Are we not supporting it? And it kind of goes beyond the germ theory of illness, mm-hmm. where one thing causes one illness, to the terrain theory of illness, mm-hmm. is how are we supporting our entire biome, our entire yes. terrain, to either support health or to have a breakdown in health. That's kind of the big picture description. Mm. Now, what that looks like might be a little bit different from dentist to dentist. You are all very, very unique. And biological dentistry is not a quote unquote specialty within dentistry. Mm. It's more of a philosophy of care. Mm. So we're all very different. But things that most of us have in common are a much more intentional and careful view around how we treat those old silver amalgam fillings that were yes. that are 50% mercury. Mm-hmm. Very, very intentional with how we handle and don't handle those. Mm-hmm. Fluoride, we recognize as a tool, but a tool that's not without risk. Mm-hmm. And so most of us, I don't personally have any fluoride in the office at all. It's not even in the water that comes through Amazing. Our equipment. We make sure that we eliminate any products that we find that sneak fluoride in mm-hmm. in different places, which is really yes, common in dentistry. It is. And so you know, how we handle mercury, how we handle fluoride are the ones that you'll see the most often among mm-hmm. biological dentists. But then a lot of us are, because it's such a focus on overall health and whole body wellness. Mm-hmm. There's a really strong focus on prevention, yes, on airway health, on nutrition and how that impacts the inflammatory process, mm-hmm, on, you know, eliminating potential toxins and infections that are maybe more difficult to see, like root canals and areas of the bone where wisdom teeth were removed that could potentially harbor infection. A lot of us use ozone in our practices, yes, on a daily basis. So a lot of different, like, fun, cool, mm-hmm, ways that we can practice using those same philosophies.
I love that. Yes, I resonate so much with every aspect of how you're holistically treating the oral health and the entire body. It connects everything together. Like, absolutely, of course, oral health is so important for brain health and gut health and the airway and our circulation. And it just goes on and on. Every single system functions optimally when we have oral health in check.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Beautiful. Yeah. And that fluoride, that is interesting because that is a sneaky thing. And of course, many of us already have quite a bit of fluoride in our toxic burden bucket. You know, there's so much that we can fit into our toxic burden bucket. And it's amazing how much has come into our systems throughout the years, just from water supply, water sources, and from going to dentists that aren't practicing without the fluoride. And so that's a very important topic. Tell us a little bit more about some of the impacts of this and share with us any inspiration around this.
Well, what's interesting, you know, there are several things that we have learned in the last, you know, several decades, mm-hmm, while many of the municipal water systems have been adding fluoride to the water supply. Mm-hmm. We did notice that the incidence of cavities went down initially, you know, once, mm-hmm, fluoride was added to the water. But very interesting, if you go back and if you look at other areas that were not fluoridating their water, countries where there was no water fluoridation, mm-hmm, and still has no water fluoridation, it's, mm-hmm, interesting because the pattern of tooth decay tracks exactly the same. So, yes, you know, the CDC says that the water fluoridation program is one of the top 10 health achievements of the 20th century. But
I'm still claiming that.
It just doesn't compute. It, mm-hmm, just doesn't quite make sense when all of these other countries had the same decrease in tooth decay, right, over that same period of time. Mm-hmm. So I think we have to look at other things, look at other options, yes, in regards to what is actually helping tooth decay, what's, mm-hmm, hurting tooth decay, what are these actual contributors? Because I don't know that we can attribute all of this benefit to fluoride like we used, mm-hmm, to. And what's really interesting, and this has been several years in the making now, is an arm of the CDC. It's the National Toxicology Program. They actually did this really large meta-analysis, and a meta-analysis is just a study of studies, mm-hmm, and it happened to be, you know, funded, very well funded by an arm of the government. And what the NTP found is that based on a multitude of studies from multiple countries, you know, some studies better than others, but based on all of their data, they are actually showing that areas with higher fluoride levels in the water is correlated to lower IQ in, mm-hmm, our children.
Yes.
And this is something that when I was in dental school, this was in the tinfoil hat category. Like, we were very much told that this was not true, that this, mm-hmm, was unfounded. But the research is now saying otherwise.
Right.
So I think there is much more risk to fluoride than we once thought. And, yes, it's not as effective as we, yes, once thought either.
Absolutely.
And it, you know, depending on, and this is not it's a political issue, which is unfortunate, yes, not a Democrat Republican political type of issue, but very political.
Yes.
Because there are so many factors and so many entities at play here. Yeah. So this NTP report was actually blocked. Oh, and it was, you know, during kind of the height of COVID, 2021, 2022, mm-hmm. Director Rachel Levine, I believe, actually mm-hmm. blocked this report from being publicized. And wow. So it took some of these nonprofit agencies who have been kind of shouting from the rooftops for years now that fluoride is not what we thought it was. Yeah. It took those nonprofit agencies actually suing the EPA around this. And so there is an ongoing lawsuit that I hope your audience will look up and stay informed on because it's really important.
It is so important.
Literally what is in our water supply. Yes. And it's, when we talk about fluoride in our water, it's hard to get out.
Yes, it is.
It's very hard to get out. You have to have some special filtration. You can't just pour your water in a Brita filter and expect the fluoride to come out.
No.
It takes reverse osmosis or something more substantial to get it out.
Yes.
So there is an ongoing lawsuit. Thankfully, the judge in the lawsuit forced their hand and forced this report to be released. And it went through because of the politics around the issue. Mm-hmm. It went through extra peer review and extra scrutiny to make sure that these things were actually true. Mm. And so here's what I want people to know is that there were a lot of headlines that said, because it did hit the news once the report was released. And so several outlets talked about it and wrote news articles about it.
Yes.
And what most of the headlines said is that fluoride levels around twice the recommended U.S. limit were implicated in lower IQ levels in children. So that makes it sound like, okay, well, we're okay here, right? That's what it makes it sound like.
They word it that way.
If you dig in deeper, and they even clarified this with the researchers, if you dig in deeper, they are not saying that it takes twice the recommended levels. They're saying we have no idea how much fluoride people are actually exposed to. Mm. Because if you have kids in sports who are drinking more water, if you have infants who are using tap water for formula, you actually have no idea what the dosage is.
Right.
And there's such a wide range of fluoride exposures that they are seeing the impacts at that 0.7 parts per million, which is what the current U.S. recommended level of fluoride is. Mm. So they're seeing these effects. They have no reason to indicate to suggest that the levels that we have in our water are safe and without risk.
Mm-mm. Absolutely. Wow.
So it's really, what's interesting is that it's nothing that I didn't know or hadn't heard based on the research.
Right.
But I think what makes me really upset and angry is that there's such an effort to hold on to the way we've always done things.
Yes.
With my colleagues, with researchers, with the American Dental Association.
Yes.
There's such a tight grip on just the way things have always been that there's pushback on things when we're talking about our kids and the health of our kids.
Absolutely.
So
we have to update our philosophies. We have to be able to be open to new belief patterns, new belief systems, to stepping out, branching out, and evolving. And yes, you're right. It's not only in dentistry, but it's also in the medical field.
Absolutely.
And the way that allopathic medicine and just our practitioners are getting trained in medical schools, it's still so outdated. And there's so much new information coming through just like this. This is already proof enough. And what is it going to take for us to alter and change this? Something that is inherent in every single home that's coming in. And we have to first of all, start protecting ourselves immediately, and then come up with a solution, come up with a strategy to actually change this for the world, so that those that can't afford those higher levels of filtration, or they aren't aware of this information, they can at least trust that we're lowering, reducing the toxicity with every sip of water.
Yes. Wow. Yes.
And that's what's interesting in fluoride too, is like, as I referenced the toxic burden bucket quite regularly and frequently, it's where we have so many different types of toxins going in. And fluoride is one of those that creates a high amount of usage of that bucket, because it affects the drainage pathways. It actually will affect the glymphatic system within the brain. And most importantly, there is an important gland, a master gland, a pineal gland, that we've all heard of, how it can get calcification from fluoride exposure. And that's where our circadian rhythm is so linked to our biorhythms and to our us being able to be in that parasympathetic mode, that rest, digest, and regenerate mode. And it's so amazing how this can be such a huge impact to every different other organ system. And fluoride itself is what can create such a big trigger for that. So as we reference our toxic burden bucket, what are some of the worst types of toxins? Well, let's start with some of this foundational that's in our system, coming into our system every day. Like whenever we go out to eat at a restaurant, we can't always control the water if they're filtering the water. We are, you know, going out and about and traveling. Where are we getting exposures? And this can be a worldwide thing too, because there just isn't enough regulation. So for sure,
if
we
you
need
have
to
produce
here.
That had to be watered.
Oh, yeah. Wow. That's right. It's throughout every single piece of fruit you're eating, every
Everything.
Vegetable. Yeah.
Manufactured products. If anything is manufactured using a municipal water source.
Yes.
You know, you buy a bottle of green tea at the store that's bottled, but it comes from a municipal water source.
Yes. Yep.
Any of those things.
Absolutely.
And that's why they decreased that recommended level. This was not that long ago, 2015. They decreased the recommended level from 1.0 to 0.7 parts per million, because we were seeing such a high rate of dental fluorosis in kids.
Yes.
So we decreased it because of the white marks that of the tooth damage that we can see on kids' teeth, but we have no idea what the levels are that are safe for our brains, safe for our pineal glands, safe for our thyroids, because fluoride competes with iodine in the thyroid.
Yes.
We have no idea what those safe levels are. Mm-mm. And again, when it's everywhere, because it's in our water, we cannot control what we're exposed to, or we have a much harder time controlling what we're exposed to. We can't get none.
Yes.
It's, I would say, impossible to live in society and be exposed to none.
Exactly. And we can start working on our resilience and detoxification of it as well, trying to get the fluoride out of our systems. There are a few different ways to do that, but it's better to just prevent rather than as like getting this huge toxic burden bucket that then we have to try to figure out how to pull it out, how to do something about it. Let's prevent it and protect our babies, protect our children.
Absolutely. Mm. Absolutely.
Wow. I'm so thankful that we have sources for holistic dentistry like you, because that's another big source that people are getting exposure every time they go and get a dental cleaning every 4 to 6 months. That's a big amount of exposure. Every time they get fillings put in, there's like glues and like the cements that they're using where they'll put it under after they drill out the cavities. They're putting in like fluoride paste, like dropping it down in there and then sealing it. So of course that just gets reabsorbed because our bone, our teeth are so porous, and that's just getting circulated through to the system, direct access straight to the brain. So this is so important. And cavities, of course, I think nearly every single American has had cavities before and has had some dentist just doing some cavity change of some sort, but not with holistic dentistry. So I think that's a big topic that we should bring up too, is how you have this incredible program. And I've had patients go through this and tell me amazing feedback. And it's super exciting to know that you can offer solutions for this other than the way of doing it in the regular dentistry or that allopathic world of dentistry where it's twisted. So tell us a little bit more about this cavity cure program.
I would love to. This has been a passion project of mine for a long time.
Yes.
Because it's not encouraging to me, the drill, fill, and bill practice of dentistry. It doesn't make me happy to drill on someone's teeth because it's not reversible. Mm-mm. You can't undrill on someone's tooth. You can't get that tooth structure back once it's gone. And so having especially patients especially young people who struggle and it seems like, okay, we did a ton of work and they come back, they made no changes in their lifestyle. They come back a year later and some of that work is failing. There's more work that needs to be done. Yes. And it's so defeating. It's defeating for them. It's defeating for me.
Yes.
And so I developed a program that I called the Cavity Cure, where we really eliminate that. You know, it doesn't, when you come into my office and have, you know, your quick exam here and there every 6 months or so, that's not really getting to the root of the problem. Mm-hmm. And so I designed this program to get to these root causes of what is causing tooth decay for a family, because it's not an individual illness. It's a family illness, for one, because that bacteria is transmissible.
Yes.
We're all sharing microbiome with anybody we're living with.
Yes.
And so being able to guide these families on diet changes that could be helpful, looking at their saliva and seeing exactly which bacteria is there, what's out of balance, what's not out of balance. Do they have an overgrowth of candida? Where is the inflammation coming from? What's their pH level like?
Yes.
So being able to dig into these issues and then work with them, you know, either myself or my hygiene team, or you know, them watching the videos on just the online do-it-yourself course, being able to really dig in and get them the nutritional support that they need, help them actually clean things in an effective way, because you know, most people can brush and floss and that's fine. But making sure that it's effective and tailored to each individual patient. Having them eat in such a way that they have less need to brush in the first place. There's less buildup that actually happens.
Yes.
And so that's what we've done. And I've been so passionate about these clients being really successful and about our families being successful and having fewer cavities and not having to deal with these issues anymore, that I said, okay, if you go through the program and if you do the things, if you do the work, then I'll guarantee the results. Because we have the tools.
Yes.
We have the tools at hand that we need. And so that's exactly what we've done. You know, we guarantee that we'll be able to see objective benefits at the end of the program. Mm. And if for some reason we don't, it hasn't happened yet, but if for some reason we don't, then I'll keep working with them personally until they do.
Wow.
But it's been a lot of fun.
Yes.
It's been great to see some of these families just really gain more confidence that they can shift the narrative.
Yes.
Because the narrative where people say, and a lot of people say this, I just have bad teeth. Mm-hmm. Or you know, my parents had bad teeth. I've got bad teeth. It's just genetic. Those kinds of things, we can change those narratives because it doesn't have to be true.
Absolutely. Oh, I love that. That is so beautiful and so exciting that you are able to offer something that helps us retain more of ourselves, because so many times the allopathic world will be so quick to pull an organ and just say it's not going to regain function, so let's just give up. And teeth are organs. They are so connected to so many other things, like our meridians, our meridian channels in traditional acupuncture or traditional Chinese medicine. This is what they're connected to, organ systems. Each individual tooth has an energy meridian running through it. So you just saving that one tooth, it's so incredible how important it is for our energy body and for the way that we have this electrical frequency that is creating our ability to function optimally. I love being able to partner with you on that, because I've also seen huge changes with our patients going through your program and being able to regain that function, regain that health, and not losing it and not having to go down the other route of going and trying to decide if they should get a root canal or if they can afford an implant or if they just giving up. There really aren't any other good solutions. The best solution is make sure you're maintaining that beautiful function and health of whatever is a part of you.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it, you know, I always want to help people maintain teeth mm-hmm. when they can.
Yes.
When we go back, and because I'm not a pediatric dentist, I'm not a geriatric dentist. I have the beautiful benefit of seeing patients of all ages.
Yes.
And so what's really impactful for me to know is that if we can prevent a filling, just a small filling, if we could prevent that filling being done in a six-year-old, a permanent tooth in a six-year-old, then we've basically given that tooth a shot to make it that person's entire lifetime. Beautiful. Because we know statistically speaking, if we do a filling on a permanent tooth in a six-year-old, you have statistically condemned that tooth to be gone within that person's lifetime.
How beautiful that you offer a solution to regain that. And absolutely, it is the most crucial thing that we are thinking of our children with this philosophy of how can we provide this holistic health in a way that sets them up for success for their entire future. It's the most important thing. It's more important, I believe, than just planning financially for their college fund or, you know, supporting them as they're finding their way in life. It's like, give them this beautiful body, give them their ability to function optimally and help them be the greatest version of themselves. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Wow. Well, and in this philosophy of holistic dentistry, it's also very important that we're thinking about breath and how our children are forming like the arches and forming their own palates. That is something that has changed so much throughout the years because of just the way that, you know, maybe picky eating, they're not chewing their food in certain ways that is helping to form like this very healthy palate that can allow for the breath to go in an optimized way. Maybe they're like underforming their jaw, or there's so many different things that can actually happen. And we even see it in adulthood regularly where we were given braces at a young age and it like really just held hostage to that palatal extension and expansion. So tell us a little bit more about holistic dentistry and airway, and what are some things that our listeners can think about and do in their own lives?
Well, what we're learning over the last couple of decades, things that we maybe didn't have as much of an appreciation of in the 80s, 90s, and previously before that, is, you know, just like when we lift weights and build muscle, it helps our bone density, right? We know that lifting weights helps prevent osteoporosis.
Yes.
So in that way, our soft tissue function helps guide our hard tissue. Mm-hmm. Well, it's the same in the mouth. And this starts from in utero, honestly.
Yes.
Hard tissue follows soft tissue function. So if the tongue can rest naturally on the roof of the mouth, then the mouth is going to naturally rest closed. And infants are going to naturally, because that's how God designed us to function optimally, we're going to naturally breathe through our noses. That's where all of our nitric oxide is, or much of our nitric oxide is produced, is in our nose when we're nasal breathing. And so it's really important that from in utero, we are encouraging these healthy habits.
Yes.
When a child is born, if we're able to breastfeed and breastfeed well, again, if the tongue can function optimally, if it's not tied and there aren't oral restrictions in the soft tissue, then breastfeeding, proper tongue function is going to help shape that mouth to where it grows in the optimal shape. As we get older, as babies get older and we start introducing solid foods, what they used to, and goodness, what I did with my own kids is, 4 to 6 months, you start introducing grains and cereals and these really easy to digest junk carbs to help them sleep better, or to help them gain weight faster. It really is a nightmare in terms of, for one, blood sugar response.
Yes, it is.
That's kind of a no-go there.
Right.
It really didn't even help them sleep any better, honestly. But if we can switch that to having baby-led weaning,
yes,
and introducing actual foods, you know, we don't want babies to choke or get food that they can't handle. But anything that encourages them to use their jaws,
yes,
and use their teeth when they start getting those first teeth in, that's what's going to help, again, make the tongue function as it should, mm-hmm, to build those muscles, build all of the muscles of mastication,
yes,
all those chewing muscles that then guide the growth of the jaw, the upper and,
yes,
lower jaw. As we keep getting older, things change again. And so let's say maybe there was a tongue tie, or maybe we didn't use our jaws as we could have. And we're winding up with these jaws that are not wide and there's not enough room for teeth. We have more of these narrow arches where teeth are crowded. The palate is really high and narrow, which also, by the way, means your airway is narrow. If the upper jaw is narrow, then the airway is going to be narrow. So then a very well-meaning orthodontist takes a look, especially, you know, my generation and older, and says, okay, you just have too many teeth. There's not enough room in your mouth. Your mouth is too small for all of these teeth. Let's just pull a couple to make room. And that, you know, at the time, that was better than jaw surgery. Less invasive than doing any kind of surgical something. And so, you know, orthodontists would pull teeth and shove things back and straighten them all out, which maybe made for an aesthetic straight smile, but also did nothing to help our airway at all, at all. And so we're left with this generation of people who are now in midlife, midlife and older, again, my age and older, who we've just compounded the issue of very small airways, very small jaws, tongue ties that lead to head and neck tension,
yes,
all of these things that we're now having to deal with on the back end.
Yes.
So if we can catch these things now, and that's what's really fun and exciting about collaborating with practitioners like you and having all of these team members yes, on your side who are airway aware,
yes,
and appreciate the relationship of these things, that we can guide you and say, okay, let's go back to what God intended for our bodies and what God intended for how we raise our babies,
mm-hmm,
and let's get you the support that you need to be able to breastfeed as long as you want to. Let's get you the support you need to know how to feed your baby their first foods, yes, and have those be things that encourage growth. Let's figure out, do you have crazy large tonsils? Do we need to address some allergy issues? Is there some gut inflammation leading to this? And let's figure these things out so that we can have kids that nasal breathe,
yes,
who have plenty of nitric oxide, who are able to function in the world, yes, optimally, and who are set up to flourish. Let's get them in and do, instead of pulling teeth and shoving things back into the airway, let's catch them early.
Yes.
Let's catch them during these really big growth spurts where bone is changing anyway. And let's do some kind of expansion so that we can guide the growth in the right direction. So we're guiding a bigger airway instead of a smaller airway.
Yes.
So lots of things that can be done now that are really exciting. And it's really fun to be able to see these kids thrive into their teen years that started out looking like an airway basket case when they were infants. And so that gets to be really fun things that we get to witness.
I love that. It's so important. Airway, of course, has such an impact on neurological function, cardiovascular function. It's every cell obviously has to have regular amounts of oxygen that doesn't dip down overnight. That's one of the things is whenever we relax at night, then what happens? Do we start mouth breathing and then we're no longer able to produce that nitric oxide as one of the most important of the antioxidants produced by your body and has huge amounts to do with our cardiovascular function and parasympathetics. We so often are all caught in this fight, flight, or freeze mode of the sympathetic overdrive. And it makes sense that our system doesn't feel safe at night if we're not able to just relax into a deep, restful sleep and have optimal function with our airway system on autopilot so that it's able to continue sustaining high levels of oxygen throughout the night. It's crucial.
Doesn't that sound exhausting? You go to sleep and you're literally not safe.
Yes. Yes.
You go to bed to be in fight or flight because you literally can't breathe.
Exactly right. And then what happens the next day? We're half a version of ourselves because we're not able to show up fully. We're not able to express and make decisions. And like the way that we connect with others is even reduced. So how 100%. Is it that we're just living our lives on partially autopilot until we can get this resolved? So important. And breath work is another thing that can support that soft tissue movement and expansion over time. It also helps us to, maintain proper acidity and alkalinity and helps us to get healthier resilience with carbon dioxide. And then that also can provide more cues to the brain so that the barometric receptors within the brainstem are able to send the signal to say, let's breathe. Let's breathe in a different way. Let's start expanding more as we're breathing. So we're breathing and expanding our lungs outwards laterally and downwards rather than just up into these apices of the lungs that goes into the shoulders and the clavicles and creates this tension. It's so important that we are thinking holistically about this. And of course, the formation of the palate and the airway system is the crucial structural component to all of this. So we start with this and we start training it and you can start working on those muscles around it, like the myofascial work that we can do and the TMJ adjustments and things that can help to at least structurally get the joints in the right place and then get the muscles and the fascia to a healthier function. That's important. And from a functional neurology point, this is one of my passions too, is that actually almost a third of our cranial nerves, we have 12 cranial nerves, and so many of them are actually connected to our mouth and to how we're using it. So we have like the glossopharyngeal and the hypoglossal nerves and the vagus nerve gets activated every time we're swallowing, every time we're talking and using the back of our throats. And the sensory function, the trigeminal nerve is receiving in the signals. And then we have the facial nerve that's taking in and perceiving that that taste along with the glossopharyngeal. And so that texture sense, the taste sense, and then also just the way that we're actually working these muscles every time that we're eating, every time that we're bringing in the fuel for our bodies, that's what our system should be responding to in this beautiful and eloquent way. It's like a symphony that should be occurring. And it does start when our children are young to help them to not have that pickiness and instead have lean into new foods, new textures, like expansive phytonutrient rich types of diets that they can really work with it. I love that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And breath work is so important too. Mm-hmm. For one, I always know if it's a patient that I am not as familiar with, but they come in the office and they're gagging, they have a lot of anxiety, they're having trouble getting through a dental appointment, then that's first red flag that there are some airway issues going on. But breath work can help in the moment. Breath work can help relieve so much of that.
Yes.
That sometimes we'll stop and have patients do breath work in the chair before we proceed, just because we've got to get people out of fight or flight back into their body and able to function as they want to function so that we can all work together to get whatever dental work done that they're needing to get done that day.
I love that.
So important.
Yes.
That you can give your patients the tools to be able to do that on their own,
that nervous system regulation. It's like, that's what creates that resilience. And if we have a stressor, like going to the dentist, it's probably because our bodies have not felt safe with so many other levels, like just within our own body, because of the structural systems, and because we don't have trust in that structure, in the vagus nerve, and in our ability to sit there and hold the mouth open and to trust that our system will be okay throughout the procedure, throughout the process, and after. And that's all something that it's beautiful that you're able to nervous system regulate that, because so many people do have huge stressors and maybe past traumas from going through dental procedures and work that felt extremely invasive and didn't work well with their systems.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lovely space for that, for safe dental procedures and help them nervous system regulate and gain that resilience.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Gosh, there's so many more things that we could talk about too. What are some of the most fulfilling and inspirational type things that maybe even worked with patients on, or that you philosophically believe in or appreciate? And like, what's something that, how do you show up in life in this inspirational way?
I feel like my most rewarding moments as a healthcare practitioner they're definitely not moments with a drill in my hand. They're not moments with a laser or a scalpel. My most rewarding moments are when I feel like we can walk alongside a patient and take them from feeling overwhelmed, feeling traumatized, feeling stuck and hopeless. And if we can take them and make maybe small changes, maybe big changes, but if we can make whatever, walk alongside them and whatever those changes are and get them to feeling hopeful, unstuck, feeling as if things are going to work out just fine, then to me, those are really the reason I'm still in dentistry.
Yes, that is so beautiful. I love that. And I resonate with that so much. I also appreciate how, as you're healing the teeth, it's an external healing process that proves that the body is capable of healing. So many times in functional medicine, we're working on healing the gut or healing like the nervous system or healing different things that we can't necessarily see or appreciate, that external tangible effects. And it's so important that people have that trust in their body and their system that it is capable of healing, regain mm-hmm. that hope that they are fully and absolutely by themselves able to intrinsically heal. It's not something from the external environment. It's their body is capable of healing. Let's just remove whatever it is that's blocking that out of the way and let their body do that job. Let that innate healing happen. And you're able to show that proof and have that tangible effect where they're able to appreciate how they can go through this process of actually creating healthier airway system, creating a change within their teeth so that they heal their teeth, that they are able to maintain that beautiful function in this structure that is theirs, that they don't have to have it drilled into or a cavity sealed up with all of the things that don't actually work well with our function. It's so beautiful that you're holding the space for that so that they feel that their bodies are so capable.
Well, I never thought of it that way before, but I love that idea. And it's, you're so right. It's, I always say it's patients, God heals, your bodies heal. And if we can help you go through that process, if we can help show you the tools, then it's the patient, it's their divine bodies that are healing. And we can just hope to be divine instruments.
Yes.
We can, depending on your faith background, we can be the hands and feet of Jesus and hopefully help patients do that healing on their own.
Yes. That is so beautiful. My heart is so full. This is such an incredible conversation. And I'm so honored to get to work with you because I absolutely feel that every time that I'm in your office, every time that I'm receiving healing from you, I feel that beautiful grace of consciousness coming through you, that energy of you just holding space for healing. And I'm so grateful for this.
Well, thank you for that. Yes. That's what we want. That's absolutely what we want.
Wow. What a beautiful discussion, Dr. Tony. Thank you so much for joining me today. I know this will be so enlightening and inspiring for so many of our listeners. And I absolutely look forward to our next conversation and discussion because we have many more out there on the table.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me. I so appreciate the conversation. It's always lovely to talk to you. always. So yes, I will come back anytime. And I'm so excited for you and for how your practice is growing and the growth of your podcast. And I see so many other big, exciting things. Again, knowing the impact that you have, not just on your patients, but on your audience, to help them live their best life, to help them really walk in the way that they were meant to walk.
Yes.
And so I'm very excited for you and grateful for
you. Thank you. Thank you so much.
You bet.
Oh, so glad we had this beautiful conversation today. And I look forward to our next one.
You got it. Anytime.
What an amazing conversation with Dr. Tony Ingram. I loved it. I loved learning from her about the ways that we are able to regain, restore optimal functioning of the teeth and actually heal the teeth. So beautiful that we can think about this in a different way where whenever we start getting a cavity, it doesn't mean that we need to go and get it drilled and filled. Let's first start trying to heal it from the inside out. Let's try to regain that function and let's attempt with everything that we can to make sure that we're holding on to our own beautiful systems, our own organs. We don't want to go straight for surgeries or, root canals or implants or anything if we can prevent it. Because whenever we start getting fillings, then oftentimes that tooth just continues to get decay into the fillings over time and it can fail. And so we want to make sure that we have the opportunity to prevent that. And then I also loved the discussion around the airway systems and how important it is for this oxygen transport throughout our entire body and the ways that our airway and our palate and that expansiveness is able to help us with optimizing our own oxygen regulation within our system. I think that in functional neurology, like a barometric receptor that tells us our signals for the nervous system to be able to help you with natural subconscious breathing. Like most of us shouldn't think about breathing or have to think about breathing to have optimal levels of oxygen saturation within our blood. But oftentimes at night, whenever it's subconscious and whenever we're asleep and we start to relax, maybe our jaw relaxes, those muscles relax. If the palate has not been formed properly, then that's where it can actually have huge impact on our oxygen levels overnight. Maybe we aren't breathing through our nose, which creates that nitric oxide. Maybe we're breathing through our mouth, and that's going to have an impact on our antioxidant supply and on our overall nervous system regulation protection. So there are so many ways that this holistic dentistry world can help you with your health. And it clicks directly into our philosophy in functional medicine. And one of the things that we do in my practice specifically is help guide you to the support for every organ system. We want to kickstart and restart the regeneration process and really support the innate in healing by getting things out of the way that are affecting the healing. So with our Transcend program, for example, we guide you through how to detox out all the different types of toxins, how to make sure that we're clearing out biotoxins, how to make sure that every single organ system is optimized. We want to give you functional neurology exercises to get the nervous system regulation in the brain to a state of great resilience and function. We want to make sure that every organ is working at its best capacity so that you are set up for success to have the healthiest life that you could possibly lead. And the most important part of guiding you through this process is to help you to be the greatest version of yourself so that you are able to make decisions not from a place of chasing health and not from trying to just regain that function just so that you can make it through each day, not from a place of surviving, but from a place of thriving, truly leaning into all the adventures, the experiences, the joy, the happiness that you deserve to live in your life. So live your dream life. Take every single moment as a beautiful gift and opportunity for you to step into the best version of yourself and to the best life that you can possibly lead. Make every moment count. And I'm so excited to be with you on this journey and to make sure that we collaborate with amazing and incredible practitioners that can also support this process from a holistic standpoint. Thank you so much for joining me in this episode, and I look forward to hearing from you all about topics of interest that you would like us to bring to the table, and I look forward to continuing to have amazing and inspirational conversations with other experts.